Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just a reminder, this is an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host Austin.
Yellow
Austin.
Orange.
Red.
Green.
Purple.
Blue.
And our other co-host, who's going to also jump in with a color, surprise us all, Kelsey.
Hi. So happy to be here. Thanks so much.
That's not a color.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a color. Pink?
There you go.
Great maroon? Job. Perfect Lavender. Choice. Every time I think of colors, I always think of that thing, Austin, that you said about that shrimp that can see like 12 trillion colors.
Oh, I hate that fucking shrimp.
Why do you hate it?
Because it sees more than I do.
There's a lot of animals that see more than we do.
I know.
It doesn't help that we're all blind, too. We're all wearing glasses.
They can see, like, the magnetosphere and shit, and, like...
The magnetosphere?
Yeah. Like, the electromagnet fields of the Earth, and, like, all sorts of crazy stuff.
Is that what Magneto uses to, like, write his beautiful, perfect script in the sky?
I suppose it is.
You know what? It's probably for the best that we can't see all those colors, because we may just be driven mad.
Well, okay, Kelsey, I don't know if you remember this. Remember the time we saw some sort of, like, power pole equipment? And I was like, look at that green thing. And you were like, that's yellow. Or vice versa. And we got into a big argument as to what it was.
Was that when you learned that you were colorblind? Or
is I'm
that
not your... colorblind.
Oh,
but
okay, well.
I must have been colorblind to that particular shade of green-yellow.
Aren't men more likely to have some kind of color deficiency vision?
Yeah, on average.
I feel like I can feel the color draining from my eyeballs as I think about this.
You should get
like
that.
Everything's fading to black and white.
Wow. That's edgy as fuck.
Let's do one of those, like, colorblind tests, Austin. Me and Kelsey will do it and, you know, have our results, which will be the correct results, and then you can have yours, which will be wrong, so.
I think I always pass those, though. They're like, can you see the 72... in the green hexagons within the red hexagon. I always do good on those.
But there's different kinds of color blindness. It's not always like red, green. There's like other ones, which I'm not familiar with, but we'll have to do an experiment and find out.
I'll never be able to be a fighter pilot.
Oh, yeah, there's so many of them, actually. I'm looking it up right now. I will say, I'm looking at all of these colorblind like test options. And there is one that is titled Real Life Situation Colorblind Test. And the stock photo that they have is an image of somebody. There's like a what looks like a pipe bomb with wires on it. And it's like somebody going to snip one of the wires. And like, that is a little too real. God. We don't need to.
For all your real life. Because, you know, in real life, Kelsey, you may have to disarm a pipe bomb. And so you may need to find out whether or not you're colorblind first because...
Yeah.
If you find yourself in that situation.
I guess, yeah. That's a good point.
Anyway, well, we are back. We're glad to have our guest host this week, Kelsey, joining us once again. So welcome, Kelsey. Do you have any announcements, Austin, for anything we need to discuss or we can catch up with each other and see what's been going on?
Oh, like Out of the Drying Pan related?
Or anything, really.
We got a message on Twitter that I said I would read to you, Alex.
Ooh, okay. Read it.
This is from our loyal listener and former guest host, Tristan. He says, hope all is well. I just wanted to advise Alex and Austin that we went on a family vacation to somewhere. I don't want to dox him. He told his wife that he had to eat Waffle House because of all the hype Alex has given it over the years on the podcast.
Oh,
Tristan enjoyed it. and got the vibes of the place, but his wife hated it.
Boo, hiss. I actually went to Waffle House yesterday for dinner, so.
Oh, jealous. Where was I?
I don't know. I was with Josh, so you're more than welcome to come along, but I didn't want to make it awkward or have you be like a third wheel or anything.
Oh, I've never been a third wheel in my entire life. That's never once happened to me.
Well, I'll just say, Tristan, I'm so glad that you enjoyed Waffle House. I don't know what you got. I hope it was the All-Star Special, because that's where it's at. Tristan's wife, I think your opinions are wrong. Just going to say it. I think you need to try again.
But we sure appreciate your monthly donations.
We sure appreciate that.
I will say that as someone who lives in an undisclosed location that does not have
one. No, we already said, boxed you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right. I forgot.
No Waffle House.
No Waffle House.
I don't know how you survive.
When they brought Chick-fil-A over here, people lost their goddamn minds. People still lose their minds over Chick-fil-A. You drive past a Chick-fil-A, and there is a line out, like, around the block.
Every Chick-fil-A is like that. It's so weird.
Is it, like, the same for every chicken restaurant? Because I remember, Austin, remember in our college town when they got a Bojangles and everybody fucking lost their minds?
I actually don't remember
oh
that.
Oh, my God. Bojangles is, like, second tier. You have, like, Mrs. Winners and Bojangles, and I feel like they are kind of cohabitating.
Mrs. Winners? When is there a Mrs. Winners? Oh, my God. That brings me back to, like, the 90s. Oh.
Does Mrs. Winners not exist anymore? Maybe it doesn't.
I haven't seen one in years. Oh my gosh. I have to look this up now. Keep talking about chicken restaurants because, oh my God, you just transported me into the past.
I guess I kind of like Bojangles. I don't know. But I don't think it warrants, like, a large response. People get hyped about, like, Raising Cane's out here, which I've never had.
I'm not a fan of Raising Cane's.
It's, like, the same. It's really nothing different than anything else. I mean, they're all the same, in my opinion. But every time there's anything new, I think people just, it's the novelty of it, maybe. Just to answer the question, Kelsey, there's three Mrs. Winners in our area, and they're all, like, in the south side, so, like, too far away for it to be
viable.
Plausible to go there, but. That reminds me of how sad I was. Do you guys remember, it was kind of like a, I don't know what you would call it, like a diner style, but like one of those, or no, cafeteria. Like, kind of like Piccadilly, but it was called Morrison's.
I'm not familiar with Morrison's.
I remember Piccadilly.
Piccadilly ran Morrison's out of town. Like, when Piccadilly cropped up, that's when Morrison's, like, went away. And it broke my heart. Those days are gone and done.
My family used to go to Ryan's Buffet every Thanksgiving.
Ooh, Ryan's. Oh my God, for Thanksgiving, though?
Yes. We're not Thanksgiving people.
Do your parents go out to somewhere new now for Thanksgiving?
No, they just make some, like, basic dishes from Costco.
Hey, don't shit on Costco.
Actually, it's Sam's Club. I take it back.
Okay, actually shit on Sam's Club, though. So, what's been going on this week? Anything interesting we want to talk about?
I had a big spill, but
did it involve your Roomba again, or what?
No, I bought a box of wine last night.
Oh,
God.
Oh, no. That's a bad start to a story.
Yeah, I put it in the fridge. I opened the fridge 30 minutes later. Wine everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, no.
There was must have been a tear in the bag, and it drenched the box itself.
Oh, no.
So I was like, oh, shit. So I cleaned it all up. Then I tried, like, putting the box upside down to see if that would do anything. Like, maybe the tear would be above. That did not help. Now the entire box, the box fell apart.
Oh.
You should have seen me with my giant gallon-sized bags trying to relocate the wine into the bags. It was a mess.
How did you manage that? So was it like a lost cause? Did you...
A lot of it. A lot of that liquid is gone. That was a waste of money.
You should have just slurped it up.
I considered that. I was like, what if I had an entire box of wine in one sitting? Which I think is like 5 bottles.
Yeah. A bad choice.
Maybe not.
I think I would literally die.
What's exciting? Nothing. I've lived a boring week this week, unfortunately.
I got on Facebook just now, and the first thing that came up was a hot take on the Goofy movie, and how Roxanne is a gold digger / clout chaser cosplaying as a quirky nerdy girl who would have divorced Max the first time he faced sudden unemployment.
Wow.
Is this like an unironic post or like...
I hate Facebook. I hate Facebook so much. I hate the internet.
I think somebody had a Roxanne adjacent person in their life at the time they wrote that. Yeah. And they're just like applying that to a character.
This Facebook user is called The Dadvocate.
Oh,
that sounds like somebody you want to follow. God. I can probably guess what sort of, like, podcaster and, like, manosphere people that person follows.
Not the manosphere. Anyway.
I've never heard manosphere in my life.
I heard that word, that term was introduced to me not long ago, and now it's like, it won't leave my brain and I hate it.
It's not even, like, clever.
But I think that's, like, maybe it's not a self-appointed thing. I've heard that term for a long time. To refer to people like Andrew Tate and, like...
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, fair. I figured it out.
I'm over here still, like, trying to figure out this cafeteria that was, like, Piccadilly, but not...
Morrison's. Imagine, like, that internet guy who's like, how's the weather? Do you like ice cream sundaes? Like, that's the kind of vibe.
Kelsey, do you know that meme?
No, I don't.
Okay, it's a good fucking meme.
Wait, I'm sorry. If I click on Piccadilly.com, Morrison's comes up? So they, like, own them?
Oh, weird.
And there's only one that I can see, and it's in Mobile, Alabama. We gotta go. Road trip.
No.
I just remember going to some cafeteria that had been there for, like, 1,000 years. And the name was, like, it was something like Sainsbury's. But it wasn't, because that's a grocery chain, I think, in the UK. Oh. But, like, it was something like that. And, like, Salisbury steak? Maybe they had Salisbury steaks, and that's what I am, I don't know.
Thinking of?
But I keep trying to search it, and all that comes up is Piccadilly Cafeteria and hospital food. Which is...
Piccadilly acquired it.
So they ruin everything they touch. I also am looking on their Wikipedia, and it says that Piccadilly went through Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2012.
Oh.
Nobody's going to cafeteria-style restaurants anymore, but it's sad because I love them. And there's actually a pretty famous one here where we live. Not a Piccadilly. It's like a standalone thing. But it was actually really good. I went a couple years ago, and it was, as the kids say, I can't believe this is coming out of my mouth, bussin'.
What language was that?
I don't know. Some Gen Z slang.
Very demure. Very mindful.
I think the demure, mindful thing is cute. I love it. I hate that somebody snatched the...
Girl, I heard that. Oh my God, that's terrible.
That was shitty.
Some rando guy. I hope she wins her lawsuit or whatever to get that back. Because I'm like,
yeah,
that was her thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
First. People are so... what is the
not
word?
Demure.
No.
Not demure.
Not demure, yeah. Greedy little bastards.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to drive you wild. At the end of this podcast...
Salisbury episode, Steak Cafeteria. That's...
Yeah, it probably just had Salisbury steaks. I have this vision in my head of what it looked like.
And you were like, these are the steaks you get from Salisbury.
These are them. In the inside, it was... I just remember I was little, and I remember we went in... And, like, the only people in there were old people. And it was... That place looked
old
like
people.
The 70s inside.
Will somebody think of the old people? We can't stop taking away their restaurants.
Well, old people restaurants is, like, a genre of restaurant, for sure.
Old people restaurant.
Piccadilly Cafeteria is an old people restaurant.
Sure is.
As evidenced by...
Their closing, yes, Austin.
Should I call it for week talk?
Okay, yeah.
You know who hasn't? You know who... Okay, I have a transition, everybody. Stand back.
Okay, great.
You know who hasn't filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy? The Pokemon Company.
No, they have not.
In fact, no. They're the most successful franchise of all time, which is why we're going to talk about them. Hoorah!
Yay!
Yay! Jump into the episodes we have this week, talking about an evolution and Rage of Innocence. So, Austin, what did our magic ball, crystal ball, say as far as who is doing what?
I don't know, because I never remember to do that.
You think he would learn, Kelsey? I feel like he has this one job.
Oh.
It's Jacob's job. It's not my fault he left us. Okay. Kelsey, are you okay doing a full summary for an episode? Or do you want to do the 30 seconds?
I can do a full summary. It might not be very good, but if I'm going to do one,
that's
can
okay.
I take the first episode?
That's funny how that worked out. Austin has the 30-second summaries. Kelsey has the first one. Alex has the second one.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I just pulled up the stopwatch because I was getting ready to time Austin. And it has apparently been running for this whole time.
Oh.
For a whole week.
Wow.
For a whole week. It's 100.
Oh my God.
143 hours, 41 minutes, and 58 seconds. What the hell?
That's going to be a really long episode.
That's fucking wild. I had no idea it was still going. I had no, like, what? Okay.
Good luck editing that one down, Austin.
Oh my God. Put me on my misery.
You have 143 hours, Austin, to summarize okay. this.
Great. I want to really stretch it out.
All right, Austin. Are you ready? You only have 30 seconds, sadly, but
oh,
I think
it.
You can do it. In 3, 2, 1, go.
We are at Lake Rage, and Pikachu and Togepi have fevers, but they don't actually have fevers, they just look like they have fevers. This is because of Team Rocket's Project R and the evolution inducement wave that created a red Gyarados somehow. And Lance is there, Fabulance, and he saves the twerps, but actually, like, let's go put ourselves in mortal peril anyway. Team Rocket is there, like, as in, like, Jesse and James Team Rocket. And they get involved with this red Gyarados bullshit. And the twerps get captured
Time.
Because they're incompetent.
Time. Yes.
I couldn't remember what was part one, part two, so I was keeping it very high level.
I don't remember either, but let's trust Kelsey can help us figure out where we have to begin and end.
Oh, that trust might be misplaced. Okay. maybe I should have done the 30-second summary. As Austin noted, they go to Lake Rage, which is a bit of an ominous name.
Isn't there an in-world explanation to as to why it's called that?
Is it because that Gyarados
of the Gyarados?
Is there? Yeah.
But it was already there that before there was a Gyarados there.
I'm sorry, isn't it Lake of Rage?
Oh,
yes, the they got it wrong.
That's even better.
Lake of Rage.
Where do you live? I live at the Lake of Rage.
There are real-world places that have, like, weird names like that, like Cape Disappointment and,
Cape Disappointment.
Shit like that.
I mean, honestly, Lake Rage is better because you wouldn't say, like, Lake of Tahoe or Lake of Erie or whatever, you know, if you're talking about a lake. You would say Lake Tahoe, Lake Erie, like...
Maybe Rage was, like, the name of a wealthy landowner or something.
Mr. Rage?
Yeah.
Is that who it's named after?
It seems like a really good spot for Team Rocket to set up their operations. Seems a little fitting. And that's what they're doing, unbeknownst to Ash and Pals. They stumble upon there and they're like, wow, our Pokemon seem like they're sick. We're not going to be too concerned about this. We're just going to be here. So I believe they see the red Gyarados. Is the red Gyarados just like vibing in the middle of the lake when they appear?
I think it's like screaming.
It's having an attack.
So maybe vibing was not the right word, but it's there.
It's a vibe. It is a vibe.
It is a vibe.
It's a Lake of Rage
vibe. Yeah, I guess that's appropriate. They see that. Team Rocket sees them. More specifically, Evil Professor Oak, who I think is named Tyson?
Evil Professor Oak?
He looks like Evil Professor
Funny you should
Oak.
Say that.
But he has a little bit of same face syndrome. He's like a young Evil Professor Oak. Get a comparison.
Professor Oak is looking rough these days. should we clarify the names?
Yes. Is it Tyson?
Okay. Tyson is the big guy. He's like the, I guess he'd be like an admin guy.
Yeah, and then Professor Sebastian is the other one.
Yes, he's like the needly little guy.
Yeah, Professor Sebastian looks like he would have spent some time in like goth clubs in the early 2000s. It's the goatee and the stripe in his hair.
He, if you guys remember, Kelsey, I don't know if you've ever watched it, but you might remember Professor Sebastian from The Legend of Thunder that we just watched. This is what you were talking about, right, Austin? He's a recurring dude.
He has a small role in that, and he has a small role in this.
Yeah.
When will it ever be Professor Sebastian's time to shine? He appears in a movie.
Oh!
Is that his time? Does he shine there?
He has a non-speaking cameo, yes.
Amazing.
Then I guess that is his time to shine. A man of few words. He didn't really even need to do much, he just existed.
Yeah, we don't really even get a good sense of his role in this. I mean, I guess we assume that he is instrumental in the research that went into constructing this radio tower. Anyway, The radio tower is what's causing the poisoning to these Pokemon. They see Ash and the twerps and they're like, "You've seen too much." Then enter Lance, who I had entirely forgotten about existing.
How could you forget about Fabulance?
I know.
Oh my god.
And I'm sad to admit that, but I had. He appears.
I hate.
You hate him?
Everything about Lance.
Oh. Wow.
Austin!
I have no, like, neutral feelings about Lance, to be fair, except I do have questions about his behavior at the end of the second episode. We'll get there.
Okay. Austin, why do you hate Lance?
Because I hate his outfit, his, like, jogger outfit he has going on.
You hate him because he wears a tracksuit? Okay.
It stands out.
He's a victim of his
fashion sense.
Yeah.
I like his fire red leaf green outfit a lot better than this one.
What does he look like in fire red and leaf green? I forget.
I mean, he still looks ridiculous.
Oh, is it the blue and orange?
Yeah.
Okay, that's like still kind of bad.
It is still kind of bad.
He was wearing like a red and black.
Oh, I was thinking about Gen 4, Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Oh.
That's the outfit I like. Well, like is a relative term.
It's okay, Austin. You're not a dragon trainer. You couldn't understand his fashion.
I guess not. Oh, God. I Googled Lance Pokemon and one of the first results is like AI generated.
Oh, hey, I found Lance the same shirtless. Thing.
Yeah. Like abs Lance.
Whoa.
Hot. Okay, wait. This says.
Abs Lances.
That does not
This
look.
Says AI art. Shirtless Lance by at laughing emoji sparkle. Hot Pokemon guy laughing emoji sparkle. Pics. AI. What the? Oh my god, there's so many shirtless Lances, you guys. This is out of control.
Are they all Lance? Is he all the hot Pokemon guys?
Well, I didn't click on it. I'm not clicking on that.
Ew, this is the worst one. You see this
Whoa.
One?
Ew!
Is he like...
Oh wait, here's another
pulling
one.
Pulling his shirt up?
Look, you guys.
Wow. Okay, these all must be AI.
Y'all people out there are too thirsty.
But not thirsty enough to draw their own shirtless Lance art.
I know, for real.
They're like, AI, can you, like, give me a picture of shirtless Lance, please?
They don't even come by it honestly.
I'm gonna do something risky.
Don't do it.
No, it's too late. Sexy Lance Pokemon.
Don't do it. You're gonna find horrible things.
Okay, no, actually, it's just more shirtless pictures.
Oh, okay. Maybe a safe search on.
Maybe. Oh, God.
I'm learning so much
this is nothing bad.
About how the Pokemon fandom views Lance now.
I think it's every character has this, except for Price.
Can you remind me, please, is Claire and Lance, like, related, or are they just, like...
I think they're cousins.
Oh!
Okay, did you find porn of them?
I just came across a very upsetting thing.
Yeah.
Aren't they related? Ugh. All right.
Unfortunately, I'm people on the internet don't care. Anyway, Lance is there and he temporarily saves the day.
Oh, God.
His clothes are staying on through this whole
yes,
thing.
Yes, his clothes remain Thank on, God. Thankfully.
Even though I hate his stupid outfit, I wish he would take it off.
Ash is like, "Wow, you're the totally unbeatable Lance." And he's like, very humbly, "Well, I don't know about the totally part, but my name is Lance." And I thought that was an unnecessary sentence. It felt a little bit like when I have to write an email for work and I put too much in my email, like I get too wordy and like Outlook will be like, "Didn't you just mean to replace like can also be with just is?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." That's how I felt about that.
Don't tell me how to live my life, Outlook.
That's essay word count trauma.
Lance doesn't have that, apparently. So, meanwhile, Team Rocket, the Team Rocket we care about, Jesse James and Meowth and Wobbuffet, they're hungry, as per usual. They happen upon the other, like, Team Rocket facility, and they're like, maybe there's food in here. They think it's a farm, which is, you know, sure, it doesn't look like a farm at all, but...
I mean, the last farm we went to had a blimp business, so...
As you
oh,
do.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so maybe this was legitimate. Maybe, actually, that was a very fair assumption for them to make. But they go in there, and they get captured, and they're like, "No, actually, guys, we're also Team Rocket." And Evil Oak is like, "Yeah, you're Team Rocket, but you suck. You're like, the worst Team Rocket."
Yeah, this is actually tying into a plot point from previous episodes.
Mm. Or they get demoted.
They got fired.
Oh! Oh, sad.
They got fired and weren't alerted to their status as being fired. So they've re-enlisted. Now they're at zero status.
Were they ever at status before? Because I feel like even... We don't know what their rank was previously, but I feel like it couldn't have been much more than
rookie. I don't know. They can call up Giovanni whenever they want.
That's true. Maybe they were pretty high ranking. I don't know. They still walk about like they own the place, so...
I don't understand how they were high ranking to begin with, because I've never... I mean, they're lovable, but...
Just fake it till you make it, you know?
Like, I guess that's true.
If you want a little spoiler, we're actually going to, like, consistently see throughout the next 20 seasons them ascending through the ranks.
Team Rocket. Oh, great.
They got that charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Mm. Mm. Who has more, Jesse or James?
James?
I think that, like, Jesse has, like, maybe all of them. I was going to say, like, maybe Jesse has the charisma and the uniqueness, and James has the nerve and the talent. Maybe, I don't know. How could we divide that up?
Okay, let's go. Jesse has the nerve.
Oh, yeah, nerve.
Meowth has the uniqueness because he can talk.
Oh, that's right.
James has the charisma.
Wobbuffet has the talent.
No, no, no. James has the talent, and Meowth has the charisma. Or, sorry, Wobbuffet has the charisma.
Okay, there you go.
That's a hot take. I feel like Meowth embodies all of them.
That's a fair assessment.
They get bribed into helping to catch the Gyarados. And they're bribed with food. For some reason in their file, it's like, they'll do anything for food. Which, to me, indicates that Team Rocket pays its employees incredibly poorly.
They owe Team Rocket corporate thousands, presumably, of dollars.
I think that they're just really, they have really bad money management skills. And I think it's a Jesse James Meowth problem versus, like, a Team Rocket salary problem,
I still blame Meowth. He's in charge of the finances.
He's a Pokemon. I mean, what do you expect? He doesn't have a concept of that, but...
But anyway, so they agree to help. In the process of this, they get captured alongside the Gyarados, because Team Rocket has had the ability to, like, shoot out this net that they can then electrify this whole time. It seems like they should have been able to catch the Gyarados multiple other times without the intervention of Meowth and Jesse and James, but that's just me.
I think they were just bait.
Yeah.
I think they were just bait to lure it to the surface.
Yeah, I think so too. But I'm like, it was already there. It was there for... Maybe they were just missing it. Who knows? But they catch them all in the net. They electrify all of them. They pull them in, and Ash and pals are like on this... They're on the peripheral, right? And they like... They get captured as well.
Yeah, I got notes on this. Cool. They send out Totodile and Poliwhirl.
That's right. Yes, and they're sick.
Yeah, and the inducement wave makes everyone sick again.
Yes. The inducement wave that is there to force Pokemon to evolve. But it doesn't seem like it's working very well so far. It worked like maybe once.
No, it does not.
And that's why the Gyarados
It worked on one, right? It worked on one Pokemon and not very well. And they're like, yes. The future of our plan and the technology is perfect. And this is going to be the era of Team Rocket. And I'm like, y'all need to fucking, like, chill out. This is, like, not going well, and it only worked one time. Like,
this reminds me of, like, companies making AI the new hotness when, like, it's not ready.
They oversell its capability, like, what it can do. It's like, I think it's reached about as much as it can do, but we're all, like... Well, they do it for the shareholders, right? It's like, this is going to be the next big thing, so you have to invest in it. And of course, it's all just a big fucking scam.
But thankfully, we got, like, nude Lance photos.
Yeah. They're like, look at this sexy Lance. He's got 17 fingers. Don't pay attention to that.
You know what? Let's all just take a step back for 1 second, you guys, and just consider the fact that, like, we are as technologically advanced as we've ever been as a species. And, like, the pinnacle of human knowledge has culminated into... sexy Lance pictures.
Yeah, and those, like, weird Facebook... The
oh, I hate those. Traps.
The what?
The soldier going to or from war, and, like, everyone's holding signs that have, like, gibberish on them.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this God. Is.
You're better off. You're better off.
There's, like, okay. Thousands of these groups that are probably mostly bots, and all they do is share these AI-generated images to Facebook. And they're always, like... Well, a lot of them will be, like, a child or an elderly person who has, like, baked some ridiculous-looking, oftentimes it's like a cake, and it's like a physically impossible cake, and the caption will be like, "What do you think? It is my first time." Or there'll be, like, weird pictures of Jesus in a military uniform, or, like, someone who's supposed to be a veteran. And then off to the side, like Austin said, there will be somebody holding a sign with, like, nonsense words on it. And the caption will be, like, "Why don't we see more of this on Facebook?" And they'll just be, like, the comments will mostly probably be bots. But then occasionally you'll see where, like, somebody's grandma is just like,
"Your racist uncle."
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, wow. Makes you think.
Facebook is a cesspool.
Facebook is so bad. Oh my god. But anyway.
That was my bad.
Yeah, you know what? Let's keep our grandparents off the internet. How about that?
Not a bad idea. But so, back to our revolution.
It's Project R because it's revolutionary.
Revolutionary. I don't really know how revolutionary that would be. When you have items in the Pokemon universe that can make your Pokemon evolve.
Team Rocket's not known for its good ideas. So let's just leave it at that.
We learned that Lance is part of the Pokemon G-Men.
Questions.
Everywhere.
I was like, I've never heard of these people. Who are they?
Neither have we.
I wondered about that. Who are they? What are they? No one in universe seems to know who they are either, which I love. He's like, "I'm part of the Pokemon G-Men." They're like, "Okay, who?"
So, like, you have, like, a government job? Is that what you're saying to us?
Okay, I have a little blurb I could add. According to Bulbapedia, there's a small article.
Oh my god, Kelsey made a face at the mention of Bulbapedia.
I'm sorry, it's our one... Look, I don't relish having to use them as, like a fact-finding type of tool, but, like, I don't know where else to look for information. So this is what we got. The Pokemon G-Men is an organization in the anime. Lance is the only known member. So maybe he's just full of shit. I don't know.
Lance is the G-Man.
He is the G-Man. He's the G-Man. Lance explains it's a detective unit. They travel around. And just so you guys are aware... Apparently in the U.S., G-Men is short for government men, and it's a slang term to describe special agents who work for the government. So, Austin, yes, I guess that he's a government. They work for a government. What government that is, we do not know.
So, long story short, Lance is a cop, ACAB.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. He's a special agent.
He's a special agent. He's so special.
Self-appointed.
That no one knows who he is.
Yeah, I'm upset that we don't know who else is on this, like, elite group.
I guess Officer who Jenny else would... knows.
Officer Jenny doesn't know shit.
No.
Officer Jenny's glad for anyone else to do her job. She doesn't care who.
Jenny doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground, so I really don't think so.
I will also say, I was watching these episodes last night, and I was, like, drifting to sleep watching the second episode, the beginning of it, and I was, like, half asleep, half awake. When I rewatched the episodes again this morning, I had remembered the phone call with Officer Jenny going very differently. My memory of that phone call was him being like, "This is happening. I need to investigate it. We need help." And she's like, "Don't worry. I'll be there in 8 hours." I was like...
8 hours?
I love dream logic like that. When you're watching TV and you make up your own plots.
I mean, to be fair, like, considering the fact that, like, she doesn't show up for about, I would guess, 8 hours. I think that Kelsey, like, just subconsciously, like, knew that to be true and, like, added that in. Because she doesn't
she shows up at, like, sunset.
Yeah, she's, exactly.
She doesn't show up in this episode, spoiler alert. It's the next one. So, there you go.
So when I rewatched it, I was like, she doesn't mention the 8 hours. Anyway, yeah, I mean, we get left out with a cliffhanger. Like, the twerps are captured. They're wearing what looks to be the easiest restraints to wriggle out of maybe ever. These, like...
The magical rings.
Magical rings that don't look to be on them very tight. Like, it's not really restricting their movement very much, but again, who knows?
Did we notice Togepi was in a magical ring? Yeah. And it's like, what is that gonna do to Togepi? Yeah.
Maybe it's like a mental thing, you know? Like, You know how if you put, like, a leash on an animal and they just sit there thinking, like, oh, I can't go anywhere, even if they're not, like, tied up to something?
Yeah.
It's, like, a mental thing. So maybe it's, like, the twerps are like, oh, no, we're in a ring. Guess this is the end.
Maybe. Yeah, that's my summary.
Bravo, bravo.
Sorry, I
do.
I am not, I am no Jacob, I apologize.
No, Jacob would just make shit up. He'd be like...
Jacob be like, I think this is what happened, so let's just go with that. I do have a question, though, for the group. I wonder, did anybody else, maybe I'm missing something critical. It was a regular colored Magikarp that evolved into a shiny, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So is it because it was, like, angry that it evolved into a red Gyarados, or was that a mistake?
I thought they implied that it was because they made it evolve. They were like, we forced it to evolve so it stayed red. Like it's a ripe banana.
So you're saying because Magikarp is kind of like a reddishy orangey color.
Yeah.
That it just stayed a reddishy orangey color, which just so happens to coincide with a shiny.
I think Professor Sebastian implied that.
Yes, he definitely did.
Anime logic.
Yeah.
I have the list for MVP, LVP, and quote.
Who's first, Austin?
Kelsey, then Alex, then Austin.
All right, go for it.
I think LVP I'm going to give it to Sebastian. His invention seems like bunk. I feel like he's just making this shit up. It doesn't make any sense. And he says like maybe three sentences over the course of these two episodes. So, yep, LVP all around. MVP Gyarados. He's the reason why it's the Lake of Rage.
They named a lake after him preemptively.
It did. And he's our first shiny Pokemon. That's cool.
In a sense. You
know, sort of. He's my first shiny Pokemon that I remember.
Oh, there you go.
So it's Gyarados.
Oh, he's our first shiny Pokemon that we all captured. Yes. Got it.
And, quote, I already mentioned my quote, but it's cool. I am going to go with, I don't know about the totally part, but my name is Lance. Because that's a weird thing to say. He's owning the unbeatable part. So, like, it almost sounds like he's trying to be humble, but he's absolutely not.
He knows what he's about. I think it's me, right, Austin? I think so. Yep. My MVP... Oh my gosh, this is kind of a difficult one. You know what? Actually, I'm gonna come back to that. I really need some more time to think of something. My LVP is gonna be Ash, I guess?
Oh,
I don't know. I'm struggling. Just because, like, originally, so they're, like, walking along, you know, they come upon the scene. It's a very dangerous situation. Lance gives them very clear instructions as a government agent to leave the premises and not involve themselves. And then Ash is like, fuck that noise. I'm gonna do what I wanna do anyway because I have to be central to the plot at all times. And I just can't stand not to be relevant. So, fuck you, Lance. I'm coming back. He just completely bypassed. And then he manipulated Brock and Misty. Because at first they were like, no, Ash, we had clear instructions not to come back and put ourselves in danger and cause more issues. And he's like, no, you guys, we have to because we're main characters. And they're like, you know what? You're right. So gotta say Ash because he can't just keep his nose out of somebody else's business for 5 seconds. My LVP, or no, sorry, excuse me, I went back. MVP, I'm gonna say... the Pokemon G-Men, because I don't know who they are, but
and no one else.
They sound either. Cool. Nobody else knows. Lance is the leader of them. I don't know.
They're very good at being secret agents. No one knows who they are.
I mean, to be honest with you, I guess you could say that, because if nobody knows, then they are doing their job. And they do more shit than Officer Jenny is doing, so, you know, at least Lance is getting something done.
Not waiting 8 hours.
Not waiting 8 hours to come back when all the trouble is over. All right, quote. Okay, so it's when Jesse and James and Meowth show up. One of the Team Rocket grunts is, like, pulling their background credentials to see who they actually are. And the grunt says, they've recently been demoted to rookie level and are making zero contributions to the organization. And James says, or Jesse says, hey, I take issue with that. And James says, that's just not right. Zero is a gross exaggeration. We are at least 2-3% worthwhile.
I had that written down, too.
It's a non-zero number, so it's something.
Oh, gosh, I really don't know where I'm going to do with this. My MVP will be the magical rings. Because if you want to put a ring on it, there you go. You got the magical rings.
They're pretty powerful.
I don't know. I'm really struggling.
They're pretty powerful.
Those rings.
My LVP will be Lance, because I had to see all that AI art of him.
Oh,
and
God.
My quote will be Jesse saying, "For duty, boss, and country."
Good job, you guys.
Amazing.
He's ready to time me.
That was perfect. All right, so that was part one of a cliffhanger. Dun, dun, dun. So now we have the stunning conclusion of the Lake Rage saga. Hold on, Austin. Let me go back to my timer, which...
143 hours later.
143 hours later. All right. Ready? In 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, gosh. I barely remember. Okay. Tabby Lance calls up Officer Jenny, who says she's going to be there in 8 hours from now. So in the meantime, the twerps have to deal with... First, Jesse, James, and Meowth blessing them off multiple times and saving the Red Gyarados. Lance battles Tyson and his Fero for a while. Price makes a cameo, and he hates Pokemon-human relationships. And eventually, Lance captures the Red Gyarados, and he's going to rehabilitate it. It's going to be Red Gyarados Redemption.
Time. Red Gyarados Redemption.
That was for you, Alex.
Thank you. Because it was Red Dead Redemption, but Red Gyarados Redemption. I love that. Thank you so much. Got an Icy Price cameo in there. I'm super thrilled. Can't believe it's happening. We'll get to that in the next week.
Is that the next arc?
I think
that's
so.
The next arc.
Icy
Oh,
Price.
That makes sense.
We're in a section of Johto where it's very story arc and multi-episode arcs focus at the moment.
I couldn't remember who he was. Like, I recognized him, but I could not remember who he was. So in my notes, I wrote his name down as Old Man Dugong.
Old Man Dugong. I love that.
That's him.
Before we get to Old Man Dugong, we have some other business to take care of. So Team Rocket's, I guess between the end of the first one and this one, they have loaded up the Gyarados in their convoy in a big like tractor trailer full of water. And they're like, we're going to take it to Mahogany Town where we have our two helicopters waiting to transport it to headquarters. Which I'm like, that's my question. Why couldn't they just drive it in the van? Like, they already had it in the truck.
It's too bad we don't have a way to conveniently put large Pokemon into a small item that you can carry around in your pocket, one might say.
You know what, Austin? You would wonder about that, right? If only there was a way. Well, sadly, they don't have that capability. So they resort to the helicopter idea. Apparently, Jenny has zero idea that there's even a Team Rocket base in Mahogany Town, and it's like a giant complex with like giant R's all over it. So I'm really not sure how she's missing this. It just makes you wonder every single time. There's more and more evidence that she's like in on this, right? I just feel like...
Yeah, she's on the take.
Yeah, I feel like it's too glaringly obvious for her to be like... Like, ignorance is not an excuse, okay? All right.
She's clearly not treating this with a sense of urgency.
No. And apparently there's not, like, an air traffic control, because I feel like if you, like, launch two helicopters from a place, like, don't they have to, like, call that in? I don't know. It's got to be some kind of protocol, but whatever.
Can you imagine looking up and there's two helicopters flying right next to each other, and they have a Gyarados and a net hung between the two of them that's, like, thrashing around?
Don't they kind of do that for, like... cows and stuff? Like, that's how they transport, like, big animals.
Oh,
right?
Is it really?
They, like,
yeah.
Hold them with, like, a sling and, like,
yes.
Carry them.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare. If I saw that, I think I'd probably just
faint. Like, megafauna, kind of, like, elephants and stuff.
Yeah.
They sedate them.
So there's a precedent.
But...
Oh, my God. They're so cute.
The animals in the slings? What?
Yeah. They look so pitiful.
I mean, do you blame them?
They do that here in, to remove mountain goats because they're dangerous and they get like all up in people's business, so they like air transport them out and move them to a different appropriate place for them to be. And it's very silly.
So it is a precedent.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's really cute too. They're like wearing little backpacks.
They are.
And they have multiple goats hanging from the line.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I am sure for those goats it is a scary time, but I also am pretty sure they're sedated. Like, they would not do that.
Unlike this Gyarados.
Unlike the Gyarados, yeah. I mean, well, as we learn.
The Gyarados was sedated, but it seems to wear off.
Not very well, yeah.
Not very well. But before then, so while Ash and friends are in the cage, Team Rocket is the sole people who are left behind at the Lake of Rage facility to guard it, guard the twerps, I don't know. They just left Jesse, James, and Meowth completely in charge, knowing how bumbling they are. There's not a single other person there keeping an eye on things. So they try to steal Pikachu while they're in the rings, but their ring remote unlocks all the rings at once instead of just the one ring. She inadvertently frees them all, and of course, Lance, meanwhile, has, like, turned around. Like, he was following them to Mahogany Town in his Team Rocket car, but he's like, all right, I gotta go back. So he didn't forget about them entirely. So he swoops in the nick of time to save Ash from getting killed by Arbok, saves the day, blasts Team Rocket off again. He destroys the whole facility and the radio tower, which, again, completely unguarded, and was pivotal to their plot for, like, Project Revolution, so whatever, I guess that's over with. Tyson gets a call from Team Rocket, who are like, yeah, so about your, like, big radio tower. And he's like, you guys are morons. The Team Rocket helicopters, meanwhile, are en route to headquarters. Officer Jenny's doing nothing, even though she knows that this is happening.
She's got a timer for 8 hours.
Her 8 hours aren't up yet, so she's like, I'm not on the clock for another 7.5 hours, so Gyarados fucking flips out. It's like, what the heck are you doing to me? Like Kelsey said, the radio waves sedation has worn off, so it starts thrashing around. The two helicopters crash. I don't think we have any casualties, though. They crash into
the
water.
I wish they had crashed into each other.
Yeah.
And exploded.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
They just sink. Those are some amazing helicopters. Also, it's a river. It can't be that deep. Like, I mean, not that rivers can't be deep, but to, like, two helicopters on top of each other, helicopters are massive. And they disappear entirely.
Well, everybody was fine.
Everyone was fine.
Everybody was totally fine.
They got out.
We don't get the helicopter death until Hunter J way later.
Oh. Well, she had, like a shield helicarrier that she was flying around in.
Damn.
What was that, Diamond and Pearl?
Yeah.
So we do get an on-screen death, but that's not until later. Meanwhile, Ash decides that he's the Gyarados Whisperer. This thing is like absolutely lost its mind. And he's like, I can handle this, you guys. I'm going to jump out of this moving car that they're following Gyarados in. And he's like, I can save you. And Gyarados is like, fuck off, kid, and doesn't listen to him. Tyson interrupts. He's like, you're not going to foil my plan. So he challenges Lance and distracts him long enough for Ash to continue on after the Gyarados. And it's two Fearows versus Dragonite, which, not much of a challenge, to be honest. Poor little Fearows.
They did their best.
They tried.
Yeah.
They really tried. I didn't know Fearow could learn Hyper Beam. I learned something new. Or at least they used Hyper Beam in this. I don't know if they can use it in the game. I didn't look it up, but apparently they can.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Do we know? Do we know if Fearow can learn it?
The potential of Fearow is limitless. It has no fear.
Fearow.
True.
Fearow Hyper Beam?
In Generation 2.
Oh, yeah.
It does learn Hyper Beam.
Thank you, Austin. What level does it learn Hyper Beam?
I don't know. Smogon doesn't say that.
Did you look at Generation 2?
I did.
By leveling up or by a different thing?
I don't know. Smogon doesn't say that.
It doesn't... Okay. Oh, wait. It learns it by a TM. So it can learn it by a TM.
Sure.
All right. So, with Bayleaf's help, Ash manages to free the Gyarados from its net, because while it's rampaging down the river, it's gotten caught again by Team Rocket proper, and it blasts them off easily, but it collapses because it's so exhausted from all this, and I feel bad for it, to be honest. I mean, this thing was just trying to live its life.
It was just a stupid fish 24 hours ago.
I know, just fishing around, flopping around, Magikarping around, and now it's being, like, accosted at every turn. But it easily gets rid of the regular Team Rocket before Jesse, James, and Meowth swoop in with yet another net and recapture it all over again. Team Rocket's kind of brutal right here. They try to kill Ash by drowning him because he jumps onto the net to try to, like, free Gyarados somehow. And they're like, okay, you pesky twerp, how do you like to go for a dip? And so they, like, try to drown him by, like, lowering the net into the water. Poor Gyarados is being, like, manhandled all around.
God, this poor thing.
I know. It's so... It's being, like, kicked around. It's so sad.
Is this after they dragged it onto the shore?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, because they regular Team Rocket dragged it onto shore. Ash tried to free it, and then Jesse, James, and Meowth tried to recapture it. So it's not a good day for Gyarados at all. But they blast Team Rocket, our Team Rocket, off again. It's free like a third time now, this Gyarados, and it starts towards Mahogany.
But not for long.
But not for long. Gyarados starts to its rampage towards the town, and the Torps are like, please, Gyarados, please don't hurt anyone. And it's like, fuck your feelings. I'm going to attack you instead. And before it can kill Ash with a hyper beam, Old Man Dugong, a.k.a. Icy Price, shows up and saves him with an ice beam and then admonishes them for being so naive to think that they could ever be friends with a Pokemon. Silly children.
To be fair.
Maybe this particular Pokemon friendship is not the right move at the time.
Right. I think that there's some claim to that. Not every creature is going to be open, willing, or able to be friendly.
Yeah, he's like, people live here. So. Cut it out. This is ridiculous.
So Ash is like, fuck you, old man. I totally think that any Pokemon can be a friend. I'm going to make it be my friend. So he storms off. But doesn't really do much of anything because Lance and Dragonite come back and they're like, step aside, I got this. He's like, battling it is the only way to help it. We can't talk to it. It's beyond that. We have to knock it out. So he does. And like Austin said, this poor thing is not destined for a life of freedom. It just can't go back to living its life in the lake. Lance is going to catch it instead. So he does. He catches it in a regular old Pokeball.
I'm sorry. We have to pause everything.
Apparently, Kelsey has a visitor.
I need to get the cats.
Yeah.
A Pidgey has appeared.
Kelsey just says, there is a bird in my room.
How did a bird get in?
Hear us?
How did a bird get in your room?
It's a pet. I imagine it's a pet bird.
As long as he's safe, that's
fine. Oh, so this isn't a wild bird?
No, this is my housemate's bird. All of a sudden, I just saw, out of the corner of my eye, Elka appear on my door. The cats are like...
Can it fly, or was it walking around?
He flies.
Okay. And he flew into your room?
Yes, he flew into my room.
Is the door open?
Yeah, the door is open. I keep the door open for
the boys. You're still looking over there. Is it still there?
No, they got it. Sorry.
This is a very bold... I feel like this is a very bold living situation. You have cats and a bird.
The cats don't typically care about the birds. There's two birds.
Okay.
They're a cockatiel and an Indian ringneck. And the ringneck is kind of big. My cats are old and slow-moving. So
they're like, nah, not worth it.
Bjorn has no teeth.
Does that bird just want to say hello?
He is a little adventurous sometimes. Most of the time, he just vibes on my housemate's shoulder. And
he saw your room had cats in it. It was like, better check it out.
A while back, he was hanging out on her shoulder, and he decided to be bold and fly around the room. And Benny was like really paying attention. He was like sitting on her ottoman. I had like my hands on Benny. I think Chelsea went to also because Elka, like, swooped down. And I think our, like, putting our hands on him to Elka was like, oh, land here? And he landed right on Benny. Benny was like, what? Did not like it.
Oh my gosh.
They are always supervised. Benny's a slow-moving dude and Bjorn has no teeth, so.
The bird is safe.
Yeah.
They're doing their best.
Elka's a lot faster than them.
The bird is safe, as is the red Gyarados now.
Yes.
That was an interesting thing. It never a dull moment at Kelsey's place.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But yes, Austin, like Austin said, Gyarados is fine. He's gonna go live a happy life, I guess, with Lance and the G-Men.
Oh god,
the G-Men
no.
Stuff. I don't know. This poor thing can't catch a break, I guess.
I feel like the G-Men are going to experiment on it.
I have to say...
Who knows what's going to happen?
At the end of that episode, they, like, break down the Gyarados' defenses. They're like, they weaken it to be caught. Lance is like, I know what to do. Beats the shit out of that Gyarados, catches it. And he's like, don't worry. I'll take good care of it. It'll be my friend. Don't worry. And then they leave. And I'm like, wasn't the whole point to release it back into its lake? You were like, actually, I wanted the shiny Pokemon, so thanks, kid.
Well, as we know from the Ninetales episode that we had a little while back, everybody knows that the true way that you get Pokemon to bend to your will is to catch them, force them into the mind control of the Pokeball. So Lance isn't any better than Team Rocket, I guess you could say, because he ended up catching it to serve his own ends, whatever those are, and doesn't just let it roam free, so.
Now it has a life of working for the Pokemon G-Men.
Yep.
And competing in championship tournaments.
Never gets a break, has to work for the rest of its life.
The next time we see it, it's going to be battling Kyogre and Groudon.
Is that really true?
Yes, it is.
Oh my god, alright, well let's look forward to that then. This poor fucking thing. Finally, 8 hours have passed, and it's sunset now, the whole day has gone by. And look who shows up, Officer Jenny. After doing the minimal amount required of her, she basically shows up, carts the remaining Team Rocket members away in her police van to probably just let go around the corner, because that's what she does.
Yeah.
And she's like, thanks so much. Thank you. My job's done. Goodbye.
You know who evaded arrest?
Sebastian.
Tyson. Sebastian.
Oh.
Was, yeah. Wait, was Tyson in the back of the van?
Tyson was arrested. We never see him ever again, if I'm not mistaken.
So Sebastian gets away, and our Team Rocket, of course, gets away. And she basically is like, I have to go and quote-unquote finish my investigation.
Of the smoldering ruins.
She's not doing an investigation. She's conveniently, like, losing that case file. But yep, that's the end of the Red Gyarados saga for now, apparently.
Now it's time for the Icy Price saga. Aww.
Oh my god, Icy Price, I'm so excited. Oh my god, you guys. It's all I've ever wanted. Next week.
MVP, LVP, in quotes. Kelsey, Austin, Alex.
MVP is Old Man Dugong. Not only did he save Ash from the angry Gyarados, but he did so with, like, Old Man curmudgeon energy. Though, I mean, he was a little rude about it. He could have just been like, hey, there you go. He was still, like, ultimately right in that scenario, and he did kind of save the day in a way that wasn't self-serving, like Lance, who is my LVP. I feel like he misrepresented his objectives by capturing that Gyarados.
True goals of the G-Man.
Yeah, yeah. Though that, you know, that feels kind of fitting. The quote I have, I feel like I should not use because I feel like it rightfully belongs to you, Austin.
Why?
It is from when...
Take it, I got others.
Okay.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Okay, you can go ahead and use it.
Jesse, I believe it is, when Lance appears and exclaims that he is a member of the Pokemon G-Men. She says, I don't care if you're a G-Man, a Tree-Man, or a He-Man.
Oh.
You're soon to be an X-Man.
Good pop culture references, Jesse.
What's Tree-Man from, Austin? Is that like a creature feature
know.
Or something?
I don't know of any Tree-Man.
I think it just rhymes.
I think so too. Well, my quote is going to be when our Team Rocket is attacking Red Gyarados and Ash is hanging for dear life in the lake. Jesse says, he's ruining our Gyarados napping. Gyarados says, roar! Jesse says, our Gyarados, and James finishes, isn't napping. My MVP is going to be Jesse for referencing the X-Men indirectly. And also He-Man, but I'm not a Masters of the Universe kind of guy. That was a bit before my time. My LVP is going to be Professor Sebastian for his continued failures, and yet he never appears to have any consequences. He avoids arrest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They forget about him, I guess. It was easy to do. I forgot he was in this episode, briefly.
Yeah. Was he in this episode? Was he in this episode?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe. I don't think... I think he is. I think he is in the episode at the very end.
Did we just, like, put him where he wasn't, actually?
This is how he got this job.
Okay, he was. I found a picture.
Okay.
Where was he, like, what part?
He was helping transport the Gyarados to Mahogany Town.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I guess he didn't die in the helicopter crash.
So inconsequential, we even forgot.
If that doesn't prove the point, I don't know what does.
All right, then. I will finish us out. My MVP is going to be, you know what, Gyarados. I'll just say Gyarados, because this poor creature has had a terrible life. Started out as a sad old Magikarp, got forced into evolving due to some kind of weird anomaly, sickness, whatever, and now has to live a life of subservience to Lance. Cannot catch a break. So I feel bad enough to give it MVP, because I think it was super strong. It didn't deserve all this mess, and it should have just been able to go live its life in the lake, but it didn't get that, so sad for Gyarados. My LVP, wait, did anybody say Jenny?
I left it for you.
Oh, thank you. All right, Jenny it is, and I feel like I don't really need to explain why. My quote, there wasn't a whole lot, and the best one, of course, we already said. Jesse and James and Meowth are blasting off again. Jesse says, will we still go down in history? Because they were like obsessed with being recognized for their efforts during this whole operation. And James says, well, we're going up in this story. All right, then. Any other final closing thoughts on any of these episodes?
I had a weird thought.
What's that?
I think Lance catching the Red Gyarados is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, it matches his whole like theme.
I mean, he's, dragons. He wears red.
Red. Yeah, sure.
I guess in the game you catch it. Maybe Ash caught it. That'd be too weird.
Honestly, it would make sense to me to have Lance catch it in the game, but I understand why they let the player do it, because they don't want to like take a special Pokemon away from the player. But
I know
Lance does have. I think it's what, like one or
yeah. He has at least a Gyarados at some point.
Yeah, he has a Gyarados, a regular one. But anyway. In Adventures, what?
In Adventures, I know Silver catches the Red Gyarados, which I thought was a cool pairing.
Fitting, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Of course, in Adventures, Price is the evil villain who kidnaps children and is trying to travel through time.
I see, Price. How could you do this? Maybe we should read that part of Adventures.
We could.
Anyway, what's next week?
All right, get ready, because we got a theme next week.
Ooh, I love
the
theme.
The first one is Cold as Price.
You're as cold as Price.
And the second one is Nice Price Baby.
Oh my god, so it's a theme in more than one way.
Was that audible? Could you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, great.
So this is all I'm hearing though, really, is how hard it's going to be for us to come up with a episode title for those two next week.
I already got one.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say put your thinking cap on, but you already did. Good for you. All right,
hold on. I'm going to type it out and you can see what you think.
No spoilers. It'll be a surprise in 2 weeks. Oh my God, I love it. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, y'all. Stay tuned. Austin, he delivered. All right. Well, if nobody else has any thoughts, I just want to say, Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us this week. It's always so nice to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it.
Always. Of course.
Thanks to the bird gas.
Yes. Thank you, Elka, for your brief appearance.
But so of course we also like to say thanks to everybody for listening. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always do so at our Gmail account. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts or questions or whatever else, send them our way there. We have a Twitter/X. That you can follow over at Out of Drying Pan. Again, that's Out of Drying Pan. And an Instagram at Out of the Drying Pan. And we also have our Patreon. If you like what we do and want to support us and take a look at our bonus content, we have cool stuff over there like bonus episodes, notes, all kinds of fun things. So check that out. And as always, we'd like to say thank you so much for listening, and join us next week as the journey continues.